You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Greg Forsyth in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Catterick, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell domestically. There's also a good card over in Ireland as well from Thurles with a Grade 2 Kinloch Bray Chase, where we'll see Don Cossack in action. There's also a Grade 2 Mares Novices Chase, and in the evening Chelmsford City play host to some All Weather action. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to Thursday is Rory Delagh. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good. Good man. Before we get stuck into Thursday's action, we're just going to have a quick look through some of the news, as we usually do. And we'll start with Barters Hill, Rory, who is current Antipost market leader for the Albert Bartlett. But Connection's still considering a tilt at the Neptune. If he was yours, which race would you send him to?
Well, the Neptune seems the obvious one, given the way he won the Challow. And he really grinded that out. It looked... much like he did last season as a bumper horse, he was off the bridle early and he had to be pushed along, but he keeps finding for pressure, and he ran out a comfortable winner of the Challow in the end from a couple of talented sorts. On that visual evidence, you'd say that he'd want every yard of 3 miles, but of course he was a top class bumper horse last year at two, so it's just a case of whether you think he might be taken off his feet over shorter. But bear in mind, he's the one who's been making the running in all his races, so yeah. You know, he's the only horse that can get him off his feet at this stage is himself. So I think the Connections are right to consider the Neptune as well. You've got to look at who's lining up for those races. The one thing I would bear in mind, if you're looking at a horse's future career, I think the Neptune is a kinder race in terms of its effect on a horse. I think the Albert Bartlett can be, as it has been for the last couple of years, really attritional. Only half of them, or maybe even less than half of them, finished the race last year after it started raining at the start of the day. And a couple of years ago, you had that bizarre race where they went a million miles an hour on fastish ground, where Very Wood came through at a big price to win. But the future careers of one or two of the horses who've run in it recently have arguably been affected by running in a race of that nature, whereas the Neptune is a more sensibly run race over a shorter trip. And while it's harder to win, if you're not committed simply to the result in March, if you're thinking about long term, then I think it might be a better race to consider.
Right. Well, he's 92 for the Albert Bartlett with us here at William Hill, and he's much bigger price, 14-1 for the Neptune.
Yeah, and that's not because the Neptune wouldn't suit him as well. It's because the Neptune is just a warmer race.
Yeah, you've got all the hills in there, haven't you? Bells Hill, York Hill, and all that. If they turn up, so
indeed.
And then Barters Hill if he goes to the race. Fair enough. So, which way would you lean? If it was yours, would you be thinking long term for the future and think we'll go Neptune, see if he gets anywhere near?
I would lean towards the Neptune. They've got a choice of running him before Cheltenham, either at trials day at Cheltenham or at Doncaster, and I'd imagine there'll be 2.5 mile contests either way. We saw this last year. Dan Skelton had Value at Risk, who was strongly fancied for one of the novice hurdles at the Cheltenham Festival. He ran over 2.5 at Cheltenham and trials, then was beaten, looking short of pace, beaten by Alan King's Ordweb KO, and they then set him up to the 3 miles. The irony is that he looked like the 3 miles took plenty out of him in the end, in the Albert Bartlett. But you have to make that decision as to whether the horse has the pace for the shorter events. I suspect that he's got a bit more speed about him than you'd imagine, because he's one of those horses, like Don Polly, who we talked about quite a lot. He only does what he's asked to do, and you've got to ask him a question before he goes on. But he looked a sitting duck in all his bumpers last year and kept finding tons for pressure. So as long as he's able to lead over 2.5, then that will suit him. And as I said, I would lean towards the Neptune until such times as he shows that he hasn't got the pace for it.
Okay. Apache Stronghold is the next horse we talk about. Last season's runner-up in the JLT Novices Chase. It looks like we're not going to see him at the festival again this year. No Mead saying that he might be out for the whole season. They might try and get him to Punchestown, but he's got a tendon injury that keeps flaring up, and the only thing to do with that is to leave the horse to rest, isn't it?
Yes, you can't take a chance with tendon injuries. And, of course, the same owner, Patricia Hunt, who has him as Monksland as well, who's had his share of injuries. She's been a little bit unlucky. She's never had a bad horse, it seems, in those bright cerise colours, but she's had one or two that have had their injury problems, and you've got to give them time. And it'll do him no harm to have a little bit of a break. He's a bit of an in-between horse at this stage. He did very well last season, but he was beaten by Don Polly at Leopardstown over Christmas, and of course beaten by Vautour in the JLT in very different conditions. Maybe a little bit disappointed to finish the season, fell at Ferry House in the Grade 1 there, and we haven't seen him since Punchestown in April when he was again behind Valsur Lido. But he's a horse, I think it'll come down to he's got potentially a big handicap in him. I don't see him, he might win a Ryanair, depending on how future Ryanair is cut up, but he's not going to win a Gold Cup, I think. We've seen that from a very, very likeable horse, though, and still only an 8-year-old, so it gives him, there's no harm in giving him a bit of a break and bringing him back fresh for something when others who've had a more vigorous campaign might be crying enough.
All right, and final bit of news we're going to touch on is the news about Victoria Pendleton. Her prospects of riding at Cheltenham look set to increase in the next few days. She's going to find out what her likely mount will be in the Fox Hunters. Do you think she's ready for the festival yet?
Well, I suspect that she would like to be more ready. She's done plenty of work at home, and I've been impressed following her story. Again, it's one of those that tends to split the audience a little bit. Although the main argument against it is somehow that she's been privileged to get the opportunity to ride in that. But the Fox Hunters is all about privilege.
Yeah.
You know, she's probably about the least privileged person there because she's got her way into the position to get a ride by grafting to win an Olympic gold medal. Most people who ride in the Fox Hunters over the years are privileged to come from backgrounds where they can afford to ride to hounds and have a couple of horses at home and stuff like that, and most of us aren't in that bracket. So to crab her on a kind of privilege is completely bonkers. On the other hand, she is a perfectionist. She missed a ride in a point-to-point the other day because the horse she was due to ride wasn't right and had to be taken out. She needs more race riding practice. So it'll be interesting to see what the plan is. Obviously, she can only ride in one point per weekend, essentially, if assuming that the weather doesn't intervene. But we're into hunter chase season as of today, and it'll be interesting to see whether they plan to give her opportunities in hunter chases before Cheltenham, or whether Cheltenham is meant to be her her race riding debut in Hunters. For me, it makes more sense if she could get a little bit of practice around the likes of Ludlow or Taunton or wherever it happens to be between now and then. But hopefully she'll come there prepared. And it's a terrific story because it's a genuine crossover story. It will get a lot of people interested who aren't particularly interested in horse racing, but are interested in sport general.
Yeah. I was just reading there, the intention is to have a get as much race riding as possible between now and the festival, which makes sense, of course. She went round with Sir A.P. McCoy the other day, didn't she? He was very complimentary about her on the morning line, saying she's got talent. So
she does. I mean, she's not. It's not. She's won a raffle Housewife of the Year into the Fox Hunters. She is. She's a thoroughly dedicated athlete. So although it's a different job, she will apply herself absolutely to it.
Mm.
Which you could say more about her commitment than not mentioning anyone who might be riding in the race. But there are plenty of slightly dubious types who've ridden in the Fox Hunters over the years, and she won't be the worst by a long, long stretch.
All right, anything else on your mind, Rory? Any other news before we move on?
We've got the entries for the Gold Cup out today, of course.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see the first Cheltenham Festival entries. 32 horses entered for the Gold Cup. Most of the horses you would expect to see, and they're interesting to see the likes of Saffer de Ruhr still in the entries, despite the fact that Paul Nicholls has said not this year. But never say never, I think, is the lesson there. And if the race cuts up, it'd be interesting. And you do have one or two novices in there. One you don't have. A lot of talk about more of that going for the Gold Cup, and I'm delighted to see he's not among the entries. I thought that was absolutely bonkers. I don't know why any novice who shows a little bit of ability early in the season, we talk about going for the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And the irony is, last year I was very keen for the Gold Cup winner to run. He's the first novice since Captain Christie in the mid-70s to go and do it. But generally speaking, most novices don't belong in the Gold Cup field because they will benefit with time and experience. There were reasons last year to see that differently. But more of that doesn't appear in there. Obviously, there will be a supplementary stage for the Gold Cup, and I don't see Connections having a go at that. The one novice I see in there who's interesting is Seeing You at Midnight.
Yeah.
Who was a winner at the track the other day, a horse who ran well in the World Hurdle last year, finished sixth or seventh in the end, just fading up the hill. He's taken defences very well. It's interesting to see Sandy Thompson's given him an entry.
It is interesting, yeah. There's a record entry as well, by the way, for Ireland in the Gold Cup this year, with 18 entries. So, bit of history.
it's rare that the Irish entry is bigger than the UK entry.
Yeah.
So 18-14 in that regard.
Yeah, interesting. Right, okay, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Thursday's action. Rory's got four races to look at for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we start in the 150 at Catterick, which is a Class 3 handicap chase over just short of 2 miles. We've got eight of them in the lineup here, Rory, and quite a competitive start here.
It is. It's not easy to rule too many of these out, but I think the key race in regards to unlocking this, I believe, is the one at the track, over slightly further, in which Cloudy Joker beat Uno Valoroso last time out. Cloudy Joker was no great shakes. Actually, neither Cloudy Joker nor Uno Valoroso were particularly good over hurdles. And Cloudy Joker was pretty unreliable as well, refused to race at Market Raisin in October, for example. He actually jumped off in front, but then immediately dug his toes in. This was at the time when things at Donald McCain's yard were going from bad to worse. But Donald's, although he's got a much smaller string at the moment, they're running reasonably well. And Cloudy Joker looked an entirely different animal when winning a handicap chase here last time out, making all the running to beat Uno Valoroso by a length and three quarters. He's up £3 for that, which isn't particularly harsh. And there's clearly not much between the pair again. Uno Valoroso runs off the same mark. He's a course and distance winner last February. And that pair looks sure to go well again. I thought, given that Cloudy Joker possibly had a little bit up his sleeve at the end of that and went very enthusiastically about it, I thought the drop back to 2 miles would suit him perfectly well for all the one he beat as a course and distance winner. And I thought he might just have the edge again. Neither of those will be favourite, I don't think. I suspect that that Mr. Burbage will be favourite for the race. He ran very well on his second start over fences, went fourth to Javert at Chepstow. That's a race that's worked out really well. And indeed, he showed how well that race worked out when he came second to Exmoor Mist, who'd also run in the same contest. Exmoor Mist, I think, was third at Chepstow. And they finished first and second in a bad ground handicap chase at Newbury in the middle of last month. He probably starts favourite, but the handicappers put him up £6 for that, for getting beaten. And I wonder whether he's just a bit vulnerable off 11 stone 11. Neil Mulholland, he's a trainer whose horses have been running very well on the all-weather of late, but his strike rate over jumps in the last month or two has not been good. For a yard that, you know, most people, including myself, absolutely rave about, you know, that this is the coming thing, his horses look magnificent. I think the key to Neil as a trainer is that most of his horses want good ground. And they've been slogging around on heavy ground for a while, including this one. And, of course, he ran well on soft ground at Newbury. But I wonder whether they really thrive in those conditions. And I suspect that the strike rate from the Mulholland yard will go through the roof when they get back onto a sound surface.
All right, but are you signing with Cloudy Joker then?
Cloudy Joker will do for me, yeah.
Okay. Cloudy Joker for Rory in the 150 at Catterick. We're going to go to the 240 at Thurles next. But before we get stuck into that, just want to mention the 210 at Thurles, because that's the Kinloch Bray Chase, a grade two over 2.5 miles, a race won by Don Cossack last year. He's back in the lineup this year following his fall in the King George. And I understand the comments from Gordon Elliott recently that he just wants to attempt to brush up his jumping a little bit before the Gold Cup. It makes sense, doesn't it, to run him again?
Yeah, there's absolutely no harm in doing it. He showed that he can take a fairly a fairly tough campaign, and he would have won. He won this race last year. It was left clear at the last when Champion Fever came down, and indeed Champion Fever was running in this race almost as a sort of finding out mission after he'd failed when fancied for the King George. He essentially failed for stamina, and it turned out fairly quickly over this 2.5 miles in a do we go Champion Chase, do we go Ryanair kind of job. But he would not have been Doncossack on the day. He was just about disputing the lead, but Doncossack was running all over him and had just jumped into the lead at the last when Champion Fever came down. He's been hugely impressive since then. The only blip on his card was that that fall at Kempton last time out. But interestingly, Form Guru's time form rated him the winner of the King George. Reckon he'd have won by a couple of lengths had he stood up. That's obviously a controversial assessment, and I wouldn't absolutely agree with it, because the fences are there to be jumped.
Yes.
Yeah. If he'd pinged the fence, yes, he would have come out of it just ahead of Cue Card.
Yeah.
And he probably then, given Cue Card ran down Voteur, Doncossack probably would have been too good. Of course, he beat Cue Card comprehensively at Aintree in April. But that's a slightly dubious form line as well, because Cue Card has come right back to his best.
Yeah.
Had he got over the fence but made a mistake, then that, you know, then he would have finished third, fairly obviously, in my opinion. So it's always a dangerous question how a horse would have fared had they stood up. And it wasn't his first mistake of the King George. Interestingly, I don't have a jockey up for him tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that is the big question with him. I do not think Doncossack gets on with Brian Cooper. That's not a criticism of Brian Cooper as a jockey. It's just that certain horses gel with certain jockeys. He's a massive big lump of a horse, Doncossack. And he got on really well with Tony McCoy last year, for example. And indeed, Paul Carberry. His best performances on paper were when bolting up at Aintree and then doing the same at Punchestown. On both occasions, Brian Cooper wasn't in the plate. Tony McCoy rode him at Aintree, Paul Carberry at Punchestown. And I just wonder whether, you know, with Don Polly in the Gold Cup picture as well, whether it's an opportunity to assign jockeys at this stage and give someone else a feel of him tomorrow. The fact that the no jockeys declared there and Wounded Warriors in the race as well.
Yeah, I've just got the jockeys through, actually.
Oh, I see, okay.
Brian Cooper on Doncossack and Sean Flanagan on Wounded Warrior.
Right, well, Sean Flanagan wouldn't be in the frame for a Gold Cup ride, it has to be said. So Brian Cooper on board again. It gives him a chance to gel with the horse.
Yeah, I suppose.
And of course, if he wins it easily and does it as expected, then, well, Brian's got the choice. It's a straight choice for him between Doncossack and Don Polly, it seems, at this stage.
Yeah.
Personally, I prefer him and Don Polly, because he clearly gets on well with that horse, and I'd love to see Davy Russell and Doncossack.
Yeah.
Or Paul Carberry. Paul Carberry's, yeah, he's been injured now for quite a while, Paul Carberry. He's the wrong side of 40.
Yeah.
He's aiming to make his comeback at the Cheltenham Festival, or the week before the Cheltenham Festival. What a story it would be if he won the Gold Cup and retired on the spot.
Yeah.
That really would be something
it?
Else.
Yeah.
Although it would slightly ruin Victoria Pendleton's moment, given that she's meant to be riding half an hour later or something.
Yeah. I suppose it would, yeah. All right, so we expect Doncossack to win the 210 and go on to the Cheltenham Festival in good heart. Let's concentrate on the 240 at Thurles, though, which is the race we're going to get stuck into properly. This is a Mayor's Novice Chase, a Grade 2 event over 2.5 miles, 8 of them in the lineup, and Harry Fry has sent a bit of a puzzle over there, Rory, and she's in good nick at the moment as well.
She's gone across once before. She was an impressive winner of a Grade 1 hurdle at Ferry House in April last year, and she was very, very impressive in winning on her chase debut, beating Kay Fleur at Exeter. A really good track, Exeter, for starting a horse off over fences. The fences are sort of islands. They take a bit of jumping. You can't sort of pussyfoot around to that track. And her jumping was superb, which is no surprise. I saw her win a bumper at Cheltenham early last season, and everything about her, big, raw-boned, suggested that she needed an extra year and she needed a fence. I think she's tremendously exciting. And she really only needs to jump round to win this. She's something very special indeed. One of my favourite mares in training at the moment. Always got a soft spot for a good mare. And Bit of a Puzzle is something very exciting. So this is it's a Grade 2 novice. She does have some half-decent horses in against her, but nothing that you would want to throw against the boys, for example. Whereas with Bit of a Puzzle, you would love to see her pitched against the best of the opposite sex. She's got the likes of Perfect Woman in there, who's tremendously genuine, very tough, of Mick Winters, but she wouldn't hold a candle to Bit of a Puzzle. So I expect her to be a very short price, but it should be straightforward for her.
Yeah, bit of a puzzle then for Rory in the 240 at Thurles. Moving back to Catterick next for their 250. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's the North Yorkshire Grand National Handicap Chase, in fact. A field of 14 for this one, Rory, and as open as you would expect, really.
It is. It's a tough contest in which stamina will be tested on very soft ground over this near 3¾-mile trip, longer than the Welsh National, for example. But that's Yorkshire for you through and through. Whatever the Welsh can do, we can do better. Weight's headed by Delgani Demon, who's just been a little disappointing of late. He always looked like he would make the grade as a staying chaser. And he was shaping in kind, but was quite well fancied at Newbury last time out. And I thought he was maybe the very heavy ground was against him. But he was well beaten when eventually falling and looked quite hard work. And his jumping wasn't terrific at Ascot before that. This is easier for him, giving weight away to ordinary handicappers, as it were. But I think he's got a little bit to prove after that. I'd probably want to be with something a little bit further down the weights. If you look at horses who've won this in the last half dozen years, nothing carried more than 11 stone, 10 stone 9, 10 stone 7, 10 stone 3, 10, 11, the weights carried. And obviously the further you go, the more weight counts. So really it gets a bit harder at the top of the weights. It is worth mentioning Silver Tassie, though, who would have won at Ayr last time out, but for unseating Finian O'Toole at the last fence. Unfortunately for him, he's gone up £3 in the handicap for that. Finian O'Toole keeps the ride and does claim £7 off him, so he deserves a change of luck. But again, he's up at the head of the weights, and it's not going to be easy for him at with that kind of weight on his back. Looking towards the bottom of the weights, I thought the one that stood out here was Nailham for Nigel Hawk. Tom Scudamore rides. Horse gets a visor on for the first time. He'd been off the track for a long time. He was a winner at Sedgefield in March 2014. He's looks like he's potentially got an improvement beyond that, but he picked up an injury later that spring and was off until November. He wasn't at all disgraced when finishing fourth of 11 at Chepstow in November after that almost 18-month absence, and he stepped up on that when second in a staying handicap chase at Exeter last time out, and a well-contested staying handicap as well, the Bruin Dolphin Marathon over the same actually in a longer trip than this, 3 miles, 6.5 furlongs, when he was second to Woodford County in a race where only five of them finished, but that's because it was a real war of attrition. The likes of Barton Gift and Gorgeous Liege, who reoppose here, pulled up in that contest. Nailham was due to run in the Welsh National. He was right down at the bottom of the weights. I think he either missed the cut by one or he came out of the race, but he was notable in the entries for that, and he wouldn't have been without a chance. Woodford County, who beat him, finished a very respectable fifth in the Welsh National. Again, we know what that race was like, although Woodford County was well enough beaten in the end. Only the toughest were standing at the end, and he showed with a big chance for a long way before just getting run out of it. So the form looks solid to me. Nealham's on roughly the same mark as well. He races off 112 here. He was off 109 last time out, but his win came off £2 lower, and he's been rated higher than this. Only an 8-year-old, you'd expect him to be improving still, and if the visor enables him to be sharpened up a little bit, he's got a terrific chance. Only 10 stone 5 in his back as well. I think he deserves to be favourite. Worth mentioning Barton Gift as well, who we said was well behind him at Exeter. Barton Gift got back on track, went third to another one of these last time out. West of the Edge was a winner at Market Raisin. Barton Gift made most of the running that day with blinkers replacing cheek pieces and looked right back to his best. Nico de Boinville takes over, and I think there are very few jockeys better in staying handicap chases than Nico de Boinville. He does very well at presenting a horse to a fence, does very well at conserving their energy as well, and I thought Barton Gift would run a lot better. That would be my short list in the race, but the vote just goes to Nailham.
Nailham Ferrari then in the 250 at Catterick, the North Yorkshire Grand National. And then finishing off in the 640 at Chelmsford City. And this one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile, a field of 9 for this one. And we'll start with new strategy here, Rory, who returns from 131 days off the track. If he turns up in peak form, is he the one to beat?
Not strictly on form, but on profile, you'd expect him to have a little bit of improvement still as a 4-year-old against largely older horses. Was a winner of a mark of 81 at Kempton in August. £4 higher than that, been placed off his new mark since, and looked a winner for a long way on his next start at Kempton, gets a change of headgear here, and that again is potentially crucial. He's been wearing cheek pieces and a tongue tie. Cheek pieces replaced by a hood, and I think a lot depends on whether the hood helps him. He's not a particularly free goer, in my opinion. So he's not a horse I'd have had down as being in need of a hood. He's maybe, he doesn't always find as much in a finish, and maybe he's a slightly nervous type, in that he's often looked sure to go close and maybe find a little less than likely off the bridle, and perhaps he's one of those horses the hood will just help him keep a little bit back for the finish. He's interesting, but it's a tough little contest. Another one coming back from a break I thought was well worth a look was Dance of Fire. Andrew Balding's in very good form at the moment. This son of Norse Dancer didn't get his head in front last season, but ran his best race first time out. He was runner-up at Doncaster in March. Little disappointing thereafter, without being entirely disgraced. But he's fallen back to the mark that he started last season on, rated 81 when he was second at Doncaster. Very good neck second to Dark Wave there, with the rest of the field well beaten off. And if he's back to that form, then I think he wins this. He wouldn't be guaranteed to get the run of the race, but he will lead. He's got the likes of Bold Prediction who might lead in against him, but most of these tend to race just behind the pace. So if he can get to the lead from stall one, which is obviously a decent draw at Chelmsford, I expect him to be ready for this given his profile. He's shown his best form fresh in the past, and he's the one I'd want to be on.
Dance of Fire then, Ferrari, in the 6:40 at Chelmsford City. Right, as always, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you spin us through your selections one more time.
150 at Catterick, Cloudy Joker. And the 2:40 at Thurles should be easy for a bit of a puzzle. The North Yorkshire Grand National at 2:50 at Catterick can go to Nealham, who looks very well weighted. And in the 6:40 at Chelmsford, Dance of Fire can make all.
Superb, good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Catterick and Southwell domestically. There's also a good card over in Ireland from Thurles and evening racing on the Poly Track at Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.